Would you turn to the Gospel of John in verse 8? This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, and it's a good day too. Die to yourself. John 8 and verse 31. Is everybody there? And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, and you are my what? Disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with, your Father. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Father from above and the Father from beneath. But there's something very powerful here. He says, the truth will set you free. Truth. Now, truth brings freedom, brings sonship, and discipleship. Truth brings freedom, sonship, and discipleship. See, if you don't know the truth, you won't be free. You may think you're free, because Satan's greatest weapon is deception, but you're not free. And it will also bring sonship. That means when you have the truth and you know the truth and you're abiding in the truth, you have a relationship with the Father. And it also, when you know the truth and you're abiding in the truth, it allows you to become one of his disciples that the world may know who you are. See, even when you go to places, people will be coming among those Jesus kids. Those are one of the disciples. See, but they don't realize that you're a disciple of the Lord. but it's amazing how their attitude will begin to change around you. Those that used to cuss, once you kind of let them know what's what, now you don't even have to say anything. Sometimes you just won't agree with what they're doing. You'll walk away and they'll go, what's up? What's the matter with you? I'm a servant of the Lord. In other words, you're a disciple of Christ. Next thing you know, they don't want to offend God. Most of them anyways. They don't want to offend God, even though they don't know God. But there's an arena there where there's a reverence or a fear of God because you carry the presence of God. Why? Because you know the truth and walk in the truth. Is everybody all right? So three things that truth brings is freedom, sonship, and discipleship. Does everybody get it? Go to 3 John chapter, verse 2. 3 John. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such that we may become what? Fellow workers for the truth. Now, this is very powerful because he says, listen, when you know the truth, you're going to prosper. You're going to prosper spiritually, physically, financially. Hello? You're going to prosper. And of course, in your health, you will prosper as you walk and know and abide in the truth. Now, he says, listen, I have no greater joy that my children not only know the truth, but walk in the truth. And he says, this truth that we must continue to be workers of the truth. Are you hearing me? So we want to prosper in spirit, soul, and body by walking in the truth and working the truth. Does everybody get it? James 1. How many of y'all want to prosper? Then you got to know the truth, don't you? And not only do you have to know the truth, but you must work the truth. In James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, they, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to react. And slow to what? React. For the reaction of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So you're going to either react or respond. You're going to respond according to the truth or react according to the flesh. And reacting according to the flesh is called wrath of man. Hello? In verse 21, therefore lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately what? Forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty or freedom and continues in it and is not a what? Forgetful hearer. So you got to understand, he says something very powerful. He says, if you are a doer and not a forgetter, and you are a worker of the truth, you will walk in freedom. You will have liberty. But if you are not a doer or walking in the truth, you will become bound. He says, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what? What he does. Does everybody see this? Now, you and I were brought forth by the word of truth to become a doer of the word of truth. Does everybody get it? To do something is to have motivation. Now, we had a meeting Saturday morning, and it really hit my spirit strong about one of the things that we must constantly judge in ourselves. In other words, if you are a doer of the word, every time you do something, there's always some motivation behind doing something, isn't there? Hello? Is everybody with me? So there's a motivation in how you respond or react or what you're doing. Everything. When you made the decision to do something, there was some kind of motivation behind it. Hello? So to do something is to have a motivation. The theme of every motivation is called the motive. Are you hearing me? The theme of every motivation is called motive. What motive is motivating. So what we're always looking for is to find out what is motivating your spirit. What theme? What is behind? What's going on? What's motivating my spirit to do what I'm doing? Why? Because to be a doer, everything you do, there's a motivation behind it. And there's a motive, a theme that's behind that. And we must always search out what that theme is. The motive, there's two motives. There's a selfish motive and an eternal motive. There's no in-between. There's either a selfish motive or an eternal motive. Every decision and everything you do, that word do means that there's a motive, there's motivation behind it, and there's a motive behind it. There's either a selfish motive or an eternal motive. Does everybody understand that? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We just got a simple, easy teaching this morning to bring revelation and rhema. Why? Because this is one of the things we must. Today's called maintaining a pure motive. We must maintain a pure motive in everything you do. Has everybody got it? 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Let's read this together. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, cares are the motivational factor. Does everybody understand that? Cares are the motivational factor. That's why you're to cast your cares upon him, because there are healthy and unhealthy cares. Let's go a little further. He says what? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How is he going to devour you? One of the first things he's got to do is put a unhealthy motive in you. Do you understand that? That's one of the motives are foundations. They're parts of foundation of where you're going. Where is your motive? What is the theme of your motivation? Why are we doing what we do? Let's go a little further. He said, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren in the world. So nobody gets away with it. Everybody goes through this. Everybody is a doer of something. Everyone has a theme or a motive that motivates them to do something. Everyone was created in that arena. Adam and Eve were created with a pure motive, weren't they? What happened when they took and fell? Their motives changed. They became selfish motives and survival and self-sustaining. Cares are the motivating factor. They are the selfish cares or the eternal cares. There are the what? Selfish cares or the eternal cares. Does everybody get it? Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. See, so when you're walking in truth and you are a doer of the truth, your motives are pure. Maintaining pure motives. In verse 25, is everybody there? Let's read it together. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give what? Place to the devil. So it's our responsibility not to give place to the devil. Go to Ephesians 6 and verse 11. I'll start at 10. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickeries of the devil. You know how many people still don't even put on the full armor? And they expect to try to outwit the devil? And they wonder why all kinds of stuff's happening in their life and they don't even know how to get dressed with the armor of God. They think that they just can go to pray. Oh, Father, thank you for another day. Bless me and bless me and then bless me. And thank you. They do no warfare. Their prayer life stinks. And they wonder why they fall. And they're not blessed and prospering. Spiritually is the number one key. You can have all the financial blessings in the world and still go to hell. Hello? People wonder why. And they're still demonized. You know, you're not fighting flesh and blood, right? You're fighting powers of darkness. That's what he's saying. He says, listen, you got to make, it's your responsibility to not make a place for the devil. It's your responsibility to walk in the truth and be a doer of the truth. It's your responsibility to put on the full armor of God so that you are not tricked by the things of the devil. It's our responsibility. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we're to make no place for the devil. We're to put on the armor of God to stand against his tricks. Verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Flee also what? Youthful lusts. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. If they got a pure heart, they got what? Pure motives. If you got a pure heart, you got pure motives. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. See, when you see strife and disputes, that's a selfish motive behind it. Does everybody get it? But a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God will perhaps grant them repentance, so that they may what? Know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So that we want to not only know the truth and walk the truth and abide in the truth. Why? So we can escape the snare of the devil. In other words, we must submit to God and resist the devil. You must begin to judge your motive. Your motive has fruits. If you begin to see your motive and judge your motive before you do, you'll be able to see it all the way through. You'll see the end result of everything you're getting ready to do, whatever choice you make. By submitting to God, you are judging yourself. By judging yourself, you are judging your motives. Motives are the foundation of all doing. Would everybody say that? Motives are the foundation of all of my doing. Motives. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. You know, right now there's so much going on and there's such a war in the spirit. And there's many who are falling from the faith, taking heed of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And the reason for that is because they're coming to agreement in that area where their motives are selfish and not eternal. They're unpure. They're defiled. We must judge every motive because behind every doing is a motivation, isn't there? And the theme of every motivation is a motive. Has everybody got it? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So if your motive is selfish, is that sin? Yes. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. Now this new himself is the new self. It's not the old self. It's a new creation in Christ that's been born again. Keeps that self. Is everybody with me? And the wicked one does not touch him. What's he keep himself from? Wicked one. Well, what's the wicked one? What will he do? What will he produce? Sin, unhealthy motives. Do you understand that? Why? Because people, you've got to begin to judge your motive. Why? Because your motive is a result of what you're doing. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because there is a selfish motive or an eternal motive. That's why the Bible says something very powerful. Lean not on your own understanding. Hello? But trust the Lord. People that lean on their own understanding in every decision they make usually end up in a selfish motive doing. And it brings danger not only to others, but to them. It usually ends up hurting somebody. Hello? In verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Idols. You know, how many of y'all know you can be an idol? Amen. Well, the Bible tells us that in the latter days, many will fall from the faith, right? And that men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. Why? Because of that selfish motive. You must step back daily, and if you'll judge yourself before God every day and every morning, you'll find out where you're at. Why? Because if you're not a doer of the truth and abiding in the truth, doing the truth means your motive is pure. Not doing the truth means your motive is defiled. And it's been led by the wicked one. Where is your motive? So you keep your new self from motives of worldliness. See, you may be a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. You may be a lover of money instead of a lover of God. You may be someone that's always looking for self-fulfillment and pleasures and things of the world and what people might think of you to be, have fame or whatever it may be. Those are all selfish motives. But eternal motives, you are no longer in existence. Your motive, hello, is for the expansion of the kingdom of God for what is God wants to do in his will. Does everybody understand that? Everything that we do, there is a motive behind it. Where there's a doing, there's a motivation. Now, I'm going to give you five D's. Five D's, maintaining a pure motive. The first one that we must do to maintain a pure motive is to be disciplined to look. That's the first D. Discipline to look. Everyone say, discipline to look. The second one is discern to correct. Everyone say, discern to correct. That's two D's. Discipline to look. Discern to correct. You ready for the third one? Defend the truth. Defend the truth. The fourth one, defeat the selfish motive. Don't take no garbage. And the fifth one is to deploy the pure motive. So we have discipline, discern, defend, defeat, and deploy. As you judge yourself, your motive will see it through to the end result. You'll see it all the way through and know the end result. Without judging your motive, you will limit your spiritual sight and end up snared and damaging others and yourself. Five D's. Remember I said I'd throw the other two in? Do it and die. The other two D's. Everyone say, do it and die. So we got seven D's, right? Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. He's going to try to get you to alter your motive, to justify your motive, to reason your motive, so that you'll do something that is more selfish than eternal. So everybody got it? It's important. Now, you know, don't get granola on me, you know, in the area of other motives, because, you know, God wants us to prosper, doesn't he? He says, no working, no eating, right? So there are things that we must do to maintain, he said, keep yourself, right? Or keeping the new self. So we need to have a place to live. We need to have food. These are things that maintain the child of God, aren't they? Those are not selfish motives. Those are considered eternal motives. But, you know, if you get a $100,000 check and you choose to go out and buy a Lamborghini and not tithe and not do anything for the kingdom, that's called a selfish motive. Anyways, you end up losing it. You can't drive that in heaven. They have Christ the King choppers there, though, I think. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? This is why, listen, things are getting tighter now. Things are squeezing even harder. Things are being exposed more. What you used to be able to touch and think we were getting away with, you can't no more. It's over with. Jesus is on his way to return. We must be ready in season and out. One of the things the enemy wants to do is he loves to attack you when you're not ready. See, it seems like when you think you're ready, there's no attack. Everything's going smooth. And as soon as you things are going smooth and whatever, all of a sudden you get put into a position to where you're attacked because you're not ready. But see, if you judge your motive in every area, you'll always be ready. See, you're to be ready in season and out, no matter what. It is so important right now. Search your motive. Why are you doing? Are you manipulating? Are you lying? Are you deceiving? Are you trying to get something because you want it? Remember, cares are always associated with motives. But our cares must be the area of purity and not selfish. People get feared in the arena of fear because their cares are afraid of what they might lose. What they might lose. See, fear is not a good motive at all. Reverence is a good motive. See, so we want to be a doer to the truth. And if you are truly doing the truth and abiding in the truth, your motives will maintain pure. But you must judge your motive every day, every decision, everything you're doing. You judge your motives. God doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to have fun. But our motive must be pure, even in fun and pleasure. It must not just be selfish in those areas. It must be fun. I mean, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. So keep your motives pure. Maintain your motives in a pure state by using the first 5 D's, and then, of course, add the other 2 D's. Do it and die. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you. We ask for your forgiveness in those areas where our motives have been selfish. Where we've done our will and not yours. Where we've justified in our own heart why we're doing what we're doing. Lord, please have mercy upon us and wash us with the blood. Sever us from every unhealthy motive. In the name of Jesus, that the pure motive of Christ would be established in us. And Christ would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.